بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still studying the book of عمدة الأحكام and we are still in the chapter that deals with الصلاة, with prayer. And hadith 89, this hadith was narrated by Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, and who would give us the honor of reading it? Yes, brother.
Anas ibn Malik reported, I never prayed behind any imam who was more brief and more perfect than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this hadith, Anas is giving two characteristics of the Prophet's prayer sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is that his prayer is brief. Two, being brief does not mean it is imperfect. On the contrary, he's saying that though it was brief, it was also perfect. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's prayer is the ideal prayer because Allah instructed us to follow him and to learn from him. And he told us, Sallu, pray, kama ra'aytumuni usalli, as if you had seen me praying. And therefore, the best of the sunnah is to follow the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, among the lessons we learn from this hadith, that it is permissible for someone who is better than the imam to pray behind the imam. Meaning, Anas ibn Malik was one of the greatest companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet he prayed and he used to pray behind people who were less than him, who were less important, less knowledgeable. And from this we learn that it is permissible to pray behind someone who is less degree than you in knowledge. And therefore one would not object. Why isn't the imam of so-and-so masjid the great scholar? Why is one of his students praying the imam? Because this is permissible. It is not a must that the best man always prays. Though it's recommended, but it might not be the case all the time. We move on to hadith number 90. Yes, brother.
Narrated Abu Qilabah, Malik ibn Huwairith came to this masjid of ours and said, I will offer the prayer in front of you. And my aim is not to lead the prayer, but to show you the way in which the Prophet used to offer the prayer. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I asked about Abu Qilabah. How did he used to offer the prayer? He replied, like this Sheikh of ours. And the Sheikh used to sit for a while after raising his head up from prostration. Before getting up from the first rak'ah, Al-Bukhari, meaning Abu Yazid Amr ibn Salamah al-Jarr.
Very well. This hadith is referring to an action in prayer that scholars have disputed whether it is recommended or not recommended. But they did not dispute on its permissibility. And what is that? It is known in Arabic as Jalsatul Istiraha. It is the pause that a person does when he sits before going into the second rak'ah or to the fourth rak'ah. So Abu Qilabah says, or Abu Qilabah says, that Malik ibn al-Huwairith, who is a companion, may Allah be pleased with him, came to them and he told them, I do not intend to pray, but I will do this so that you would learn from me how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to pray. And he prayed a prayer, so the companions of Abi Qilabah asked him, how did he pray? And he said that his prayer is exactly similar to the prayer of the imam of our masjid, who is not a companion. And this person is Abu Yazid Amr ibn Salama al-Jurmi. And he's describing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, and this imam used to sit when raising their heads from the prostration. And this, as I said before, it's referring to Jalsat al-Istiraha. Now, what is the ruling on this? Scholars have differed. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, and this is what is prescribed in his school of thought, went into saying that this is a highly recommended sunnah. Why? First of all, because of this hadith. Malik ibn al-Huwayrith is describing. He's not praying for himself, meaning he is careful in showing exactly how the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. Therefore, he would not add anything or take out anything unless this is how he saw the Prophet do it. And that is why scholars say, backing up Al-Imam al-Shafi'i's opinion, scholars say that he did this in the presence of the Tabi'een and some of the companions, and no one had said, no, this is not the way the Prophet used to do it, alayhi salatu wasalam. So all of the scholars agree that it is permissible to sit this short pause. Again, which rak'ahs do we sit in it? The first and the third. Because after the second prostration, you're supposed to stand up. The sunnah is that you sit for a short pause and then you stand up. Now, the sunnah according to Imam Shafi'i and according to Malik ibn al-Huwayrith. Other companions said, no, it is not part of the sunnah. Maybe the Prophet had done it, alayhi salatu wasalam, due to an illness, due to his age, due to any other reason. But we know that the Prophet, alayhi salam, one of the descriptions of his prayer, that if when he stood up quickly. So they said that this is probably due to the fact that he was old. However, there is a rule that we always have to keep in our minds. And this rule says, whenever there is a possibility, then you cannot use this as an evidence. Whenever we say the word maybe, this is thrown away. Why? Everything in Islam you can say maybe. So it cannot be an evidence that you reject or refute another evidence with. For example, the Prophet ﷺ instructed the blind man to pray in the masjid with the congregation. He said, I do not have any excuse for you. Now, some scholars said, maybe this was because the old man needed to learn about Islam, so the Prophet forced him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So is this sufficient to reject the evidence obliging us to pray in the masjid? The answer is no. Because maybe comes in everything. Imagine, someone says that Allah Azza wa Jal made intoxicants, made whiskey, alcohol, forbidden because at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they did not have locks on their doors. So maybe it was forbidden then because people would go out when they're drunk and do foolish things. But now, alhamdulillah, we have locks. So if you drink and your door is locked, you cannot do harm to anyone, so it's halal. And that is why this is quite important, because when you debate with someone, when you're telling someone this is sunnah, he said, maybe it was not reported to us. For example, someone is arguing, I'm not saying debating, arguing about mawlid. Said the mawlid of the Prophet ﷺ is a sunnah, it's a good thing. We say that the mawlid was not done before, and therefore we consider it to be bid'ah, it's an innovation. He says, why? Isn't it a good thing? I say, no, because the Prophet did not do it, and the companions did not do it. He then argues and says, how do you know that the Prophet did not do it? Maybe he did it. Maybe the companions had done it. And I say, when maybe comes, you trash it and throw it in the dustbin. In the Arabic, they say, إِذَا تَطَرَّقَ الْإِحْتِمَالِ بَطُلَ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ. Whenever there is a possibility, then you cannot use this as an evidence. You have to throw it away. You have to be certain about this thing. And besides, we know that Allah says in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. I have perfected today your religion. So if it was perfected at the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, it definitely had reached us. And whatever did not reach us is not considered to be part of the religion. So it's very simple, it's very basic. All what you have to do is apply this to your argument, and then you will find everything to be clear, inshallah, for you. Therefore, we come back to Jalsat al-Istiraha, or to the pause of resting. Is it sunnah or not? The most authentic opinion is, it is sunnah. Is it something that we should fight over? And my brother does not do it, my imam does not do it, I go to the imam, why don't you do it? You should do it, you should. No. If he doesn't want to do it, he has a group of scholars that back him up. Not only a minority, but a huge group of scholars saying that yes, it is not part of the sunnah that should be maintained. And if he follows this sunnah, he has the hadith in al-Bukhari and elsewhere proving that the companions used to do it, such as Malik ibn al-Huwayrith. Therefore, we should not make this as an issue to fight or to dispute among scholars. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.